wake your ass up and get some coffee.
To us, coffee isn't just a beverage.
It's a community.
It's an accumulation of the global network of fair trade farmers to the independently owned coffee shops working together to bring the freshest coffee to their local neighborhoods.
You're listening to Coffee and Power by Acme Radio Live.
Good morning. How are everybody doing today?
How's it going?
Welcome to Coffee and Podcast, powered by Acme Radio Live. It's a nice, beautiful day outside. It's a little cloudy, but it's almost jacket weather. It's almost I'm wearing a jacket.
I brought one with me. I haven't committed to it yet, but I'm excited.
Hey, I appreciate it. Hey, my name is Q. I got my buddy Jimmy in the building.
Yo.
My homie Nate.
What's up?
And we got our special guest, Dave Pelicani.
How's it going?
Who is the proprietor? Is that the proper way to say that word? I can't say that.
Proprietor.
He runs things at Nashville Hemp. We're happy to have him today. And I think we're going to jump right into it because there's a lot of information that I want you to share with the people. So I know school's back in session, so hopefully we got some more listeners out there. And I want you to talk about your story, your background, and how'd you get involved in the hemp business and where you're located and all that good stuff, brother.
All right, cool. Yeah. Yep, Nashville Hemp is over in West Nashville on Charlotte Pike. It's 5916 Charlotte for anybody interested. Nashville Hemp was opened up last year. And it kind of grew out of, I also own Nashville Vapor, the electronic cigarette company. And people were coming in all the time and asking a lot of questions about CBD, I'd say about a year and a half ago. And, I kind of thought, there's definitely something going on here. And I thought it warranted maybe having its own operation. So, yeah, we opened up Nashville Hemp last year, September 1st. So, yeah, we're just a few days away from our one-year anniversary. But
congrats, man.
Yeah,
congrats.
Yeah, thanks.
Let's circle back 1 second, though, because there are people out there and myself want to know, what is CBD like?
CBD is cannabidiol. It's one of the key ingredients in the cannabis plant. It's more traditionally thought of as, an extract from hemp, but, a lot of people don't understand that hemp and cannabis it's the same plant. It's just different strains are grown with, more dominant, chemical profiles, I guess. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't like to say the word chemical because most people think something synthetic, but it's mm-hmm. all natural. But
there's still compounds present, right?
Yeah, of course. So, hemp is basically just a low THC form of cannabis, and CBD is generally extracted from the plant. People are using it for a ton of different things. Not everybody totally understands exactly how and why it does the things that it does. Without making any health claims, it seems to be helping an awful lot of people for a ton of different things that, you can almost barely even comprehend how many things it really is helping people with. So
yeah,
it's pretty interesting.
And that's what I'm hearing. Like, people that I talk to who, who's into the CBD thing, it's like, man, I have a headache, or if I'm exhausted. It's just like all kinds of different examples of people out there who are saying like it makes me feel this, it makes me feel that, it gives me an extra boost of energy, or it just vibes me out, make me more chilled out if I got anxiety and things like that. So I think that's dope. So if it's always a good thing when people are feeling better. So
yeah, for sure. Anecdotes about people who've been struggling with a certain ailment for a while and just decided to give it a try and noticed some sort of relief. But do you think the main reason that there's so much mystery surrounding it is because of its classification as a Schedule 1?
Well, Yeah, I mean, it's a combination of a lot of things. The biggest obstacle for a lot of people is, you know, a lot of people who would potentially be inclined to looking for some kind of alternative, you know, health and wellness, you know, lifestyles might initially have a little, you know, skepticism when they're thinking about anything that comes from the cannabis plant, you know, but
evil.
Yeah, exactly. But it's changing, you know, it's, you know, just in the past year and a half, 2 years, you know, people who would have initially never even thought about trying it, you know, have started trying it. And a lot of people have had amazing results. Just a good example is somebody like my mom, you know, who's, mm-hmm. You know, a 67-year-old lady, pretty straight laced for the most part. and, you know, she's like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm getting older. I got some joint issues. I play tennis, you know, my knee or whatever, and I'll give it a try, you know. And sure enough, you know, she's like, "Wow, you know, this really helps." And
but do you feel high? Like, as like if you're smoking weed, you get high. Obviously, do you get the munchies on CBD? Is there a level of like, damn, I don't need to drive right now. I'm high as hell on this CBD.
probably for the most part, no. Okay. I mean, it depends on, you know, how much you're ingesting and how you're ingesting it. I mean, there's so many ways to take it. Like my mom, she uses like a topical cream, which she'll, you know, rub onto her joints after she's, you know, been out playing tennis. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you're taking a higher dose of, you know, CBD, you know, sublingually under your tongue, or there are a lot of people who smoke the actual hemp flower, you know, you'll definitely feel a little mellow and relaxed. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't have, you know, for it to legally be classified as, you know, a hemp or CBD product in the state of Tennessee, mm-hmm. it needs to be below 0.3%. So it's a minuscule amount of THC that's in there, which is generally thought of as the psychoactive ingredient.
Yeah, so we deal with plants a fair bit in our industry as well. There are two main types of plants, the Arabica, the Robusta. One has a lot of caffeine, the other is more more of a specialty product that people aren't buying just so they can get jacked on caffeine.
And yeah, like indicas and sativas.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So I can't help but draw that parallel. But like when we're sourcing, obviously we're not buying coffee that was grown here on right. this soil. So we have to build these relationships with people in Guatemala, El Salvador, Ethiopia, these types of places. Are you, what are you looking for when you're deciding like what product you're going to market in Nashville?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we like to carry a wide selection as possible. We normally try to have, you know, at least 8 to 12 different strains of, you know, hemp flower. If you're just talking about the purest form of how it's grown, but, yeah, you know, there's a lot of stuff being grown in Tennessee right now. And there's definitely going to be some nice stuff being harvested this year, but you know, places where they have a longer history of growing, you know, places like the Pacific Northwest and Colorado, you're definitely going to see a little bit higher grade. And again, I haven't seen everything that's going to be harvested yet this year in Tennessee, but you know, the more time you spend growing, obviously the better results you're going to have. And I'm sure it's the exact same way with coffee. You know, if people, you know, plant some coffee beans, probably their first year's return is probably not going to be, and I don't know this for sure, but I'm guessing over time as you develop, you know, the specific strain of coffee bean, it's just going to get better over time. But
yeah,
am I right about that or wrong?
That makes
I have no
sense.
Idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Typically it's about 4 years before a coffee plant's going to yield an actual harvest from the time that it's a nursery plant. Is that similar too, as well? Like these people who have, who are now growing in the state of Tennessee, are they seeing yields, you know, the very next year, or is it,
Yeah, I mean, they'll get something. I mean, the plant, if it grows, it's going to be a viable hemp plant. But, you know, there's so much selective breeding that goes into it. You know, people take the best traits of their best plants and generally clone them. So then the next year, you know, like anything, they're harnessing all the best properties of it. And over time, it's going to get, you know, better and better and better. You know, there's a lot of plants, like when you think of industrial hemp, like the stuff they make rope out of, you know, that stuff isn't bred specifically to be high in CBD. So it will have it in there, but it might be, you know, 4 or 5%. Whereas if people are growing a strain specifically to yield a high amount of CBD, you know, last year, a lot of the stuff that we were seeing in Tennessee was coming in at about 10, 11, 12%. Whereas the stuff from, you know, Colorado and Oregon could be 22, 23% CBD in it. So, you know, I expect in the next 2-3 years, they'll be creating, you know, strains here that are on par with anything grown anywhere. I mean, you know, Tennessee growers are serious about what they're doing, and you know, they want to create stuff as good as anything being grown anywhere, and I'm fully confident they will, you know.
We're rooting for it too.
Man, yeah, for sure.
It seems like it's just so many things I want to ask you. I mean, do we want to take a break right now? And I want to actually go back a little bit, but we'll take a break first and come back, and I want to ask you some more questions. We got my man Dave Pelicani in the building. Coffee In, powered by Acme Radio Live.
Hey Alexa, play the best local music from Nashville, Tennessee.
I don't know the best local music from Nashville, Tennessee.
Hey Alexa, play the hottest new tracks.
I'm sorry, I don't know the hottest new tracks.
Hey Alexa, just play Acme Radio Live.
Welcome to Acme Radio Live.
Ask Alexa to play Acme Radio Live, and you've got direct access to Authentic Music City. To see what we're playing and for more info, head to acmeradiolive.com.
Acme Radio Live is just the coolest. I'm Alexa, and I approve this message.
To us, coffee isn't just a beverage.
It's a community.
It's an accumulation of the global network of fair trade farmers to the independently owned coffee shops working together to bring the freshest coffee to their local neighborhoods. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jimmy. And we're roasters and baristas of one of Nashville's finest coffee shops, 8th and Roast. On Coffee And, the podcast, we'll dive deep into coffee trends, the craft culture of brewing, and answer all your questions about how these coffee communities impact your daily lives.
So tune in to listen live every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. via acmeradiolive.com. The show is also available on all podcast platforms.
You tune in every day to hear what artists are stopping by the Acme Radio Live studio, but this gal thinks it's time we call a few more ladies to the front. So tune in every Thursday from 3 to 4 p.m. for interviews and live in-studio sessions with Nashville's finest females. And me, your DJ Ratio, on Girls Rule the Roost.
Acme Radio Live strives to showcase authentic Music City. We don't just do that through all the hot tracks we play on our station, but we do it with our content. Not only do we deliver the best music from local and touring acts all day, every day, but we also create content for these artists that live on the Acme Radio Live YouTube page. Head to YouTube and search Acme Radio Live for all the videos of your favorite artists. And while you're at it, click subscribe so you can stay up to date with the most authentic content you've seen in Music City. To listen live, visit acmeradiolive.com.
Are you looking for a coffee pod that won't destroy the planet?
You're listening to Coffee And, powered by Acme Radio Live. We're back. Coffee And, powered by Acme Radio Live. My name is Q. Got my buddy Nate.
Yep.
My homie Jimmy.
Hello.
Awesome guest, Mr. Dave Pelicani from Nashville Hemp.
Hello.
I want to take it back. So what I want to do, man, I'm trying, your education, your knowledge is amazing. And I'm going to say something. I think you're going to be, 10 years from now, people are going to look back and say, this guy's one of the forefathers of bringing the hemp and the CBD thing to the masses and to the forefront in Nashville. So my question to you is, how did all this happen? Where did you grow up? How did you get into this? I want you to tie in the story of Dave and like, how did all this happen? Was it just like you chilling and smoking weed at the crib and you just had a revelation, or you just got another ways of popping this off?
Yeah. Well, once upon a time, you know, many, many years ago when I was living in New York, and I was in the music world, there was, you know, some plants, you know, that were floating around the music scene, you know, and, I was, a bit of a fan and dabbled a little bit in it once upon a time.
And you're not talking about succulents, or
the real thing. And you know, I always just thought, you know, the laws surrounding, you know, cannabis were just insane. You know, I mean, in a way, I was waiting my whole life for this to kind of, you know, start to gain some broad acceptance in society, because, you know, the stigma for a plant, you know, is just rooted in so much misinformation and fear. And, you know, for this, I always saw, you know, the cannabis plant as having some magical properties. And not just for, you know, how it, you know, can get somebody stoned, but something that kind of transcends that in a way. And I've talked about this with Ernest a little bit before. I see the plant as a uniter, you know, for a lot of people who come from, you know, really various backgrounds with different political and religious and whatever different beliefs, kind of all seem to be on the same page with, you know, the possibilities of what can come from this plant. Mm-hmm. You know, it's healing properties alone, you know, it's just started to really be studied, and people still really don't understand how it has the ability to help so many different people with so many different kinds of things. But the fact that, you know, this kind of came up here in Tennessee, and obviously, you know, recreational marijuana use is not legal here in Tennessee yet.
Okay.
But it will be. But, you know, when I first opened up Nashville Hemp, the reason I did it was I was a little afraid at first to start putting hemp products in the electronic cigarette stores at Nashville Vapor, mm-hmm. because I was worried that, you know, certain people were going to come in and see that, and that would turn them off to the whole, you know, electronic cigarette vapor business, and, you know, which I started to try to help people quit smoking. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to put anything in there was going to make people feel like they were going into a head shop or something that was seedy, or but really quickly I started to realize nobody cares anymore. Nobody has that, like, this evil fear of the dreaded weed anymore, you know? I mean, When I started seeing 85-year-old women coming in who've never smoked a joint in their life, telling me how CBD has, like, changed their life, yeah. I was like, wow, you know, this is an amazing thing, you know? I mean, there's really nothing else like it that I can think about that you know, has found a way to bring so many different people from so many diverse backgrounds to kind of all be on the same page and say, you know what, there's something to this plant.
And that's crazy, because I mean, now CBD is kind of stepping in and doing their and creating its own path too. So, you know, it kind of parallels in a lot of ways. So,
yeah, you know, I mean, when we started Nashville Hemp, you know, I wanted it to be a Nashville thing. I wanted, you know, Nashville to be able to have its own hemp and identity, I guess, where people can realize, oh, you know, Tennessee has the potential. You know, everybody thinks of places like Colorado and California. But I think, you know, there's a huge potential for Tennessee to really put itself on the map as one of the premier, you know, hemp growing destinations and on the planet, you know.
That's
the,
awesome.
The conditions here and the history are right, you know. I mean, Tennessee and Kentucky, you know, have such a long history of, you know, tobacco farmers, And, you know, that industry's obviously died out for a lot of them. So this is like a huge revitalization for, you know, a lot of farmers who've just been waiting for something that they can grow again, where, like, you know, and this is huge.
So talk about, like, with Nashville Vapor leading over to Nashville Hemp as far as, like, your branding and building the business, if there's any kind of regulatory challenges that you've been facing throughout this process that you want to chime in on.
There's always challenges in this industry. There's a ton of challenges right now for the vapor industry. And, you know, even after the farm bill had been passed last year, which made hemp a federally legal crop, product, plant, whatever you want to call it, still nobody wanted to touch it as far as banks and credit card processors. I mean, we're on our third credit card processor right now. Because, again, there's still that stigma where, you know, a lot of people are just kind of pulling back a little bit and holding on to see where the industry is going to go. You know, so right now it's so early, in the game, it's hard to know where it's all going to go right now. But I think regardless of what happens, even if marijuana was legalized, you know, federally or in the state of Tennessee tomorrow, there's still going to be, it's not like if weed got legalized, people would stop using CBD specifically for CBD. It's not like a replacement, you know, it has its own place, you know, because it tomorrow, my mom, if weed was legalized, she's not going to start ripping bong hits, but she will still keep using CBD cream.
Right. Cause it works for her.
Cause it works. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, there's so many possibilities of where the industry can go right now.
So one of the questions on my mind is sustainability, as we kind of look at the world around us and see how many non-renewable resources we're using, how much damage we're doing to the planet just to kind of maintain our disposable lifestyle, especially here in the United States. How interested are you in the industrial side of hemp? Like what are the boundaries of, you know, how this could revolutionize the way that human beings live, and how many jobs are we going to create globally when hemp becomes sort of this this commodity that we're using in almost everything, the same way that, you know, plastic is in everything or styrofoam is so common.
Yeah, that's a great question. People don't, when I said the plant is a miraculous plant, the potentials for it go way beyond even just, you know, what it can do for people individually for, you know, health or relaxation or whatever. You're right. Hemp, you know, if we start, I mean, there's so many things that could be made from hemp, you can barely even comprehend. I just saw something the other day where a guy just made a plane that was made from hemp and no fueled way. By hemp. And this isn't a new idea. I think Henry Ford had made a hemp car like, you know, 70 or 80 years ago, that the entire car was made from hemp and ran on hemp seed oil. And, you know, without getting into, like, you know, a dark hole is where I'm sounding like some crazy conspiracy theorist or anything, there definitely was, you know, active, you know, measures taken to prevent, you know, all of the potentials from the hemp plant from ever really, like, being realized. And now I'm really hoping that people are starting to realize, okay, you know, resources are not infinite. You know, we see all these terrible things happening, you know, in the Amazon right now. And, you know, if people start to realize that, you know, you can yield five times as much fiber from hemp plants that you can from cutting down trees, in, you know, where it could take years and years and years for a tree to reach full maturity, you're talking about a matter of months where you can, you know, get the same amount of usable hemp fiber from the hemp plant. Obviously, that's not the focus of my business, you know, as far as Nashville hemp goes. But yeah, I mean, the potential, you can make anything out of it.
The more we destigmatize and legalize too throughout the states and stop pretending like this thing is as harmful to us as heroin.
Right? Oh, of course.
Like as soon as we break down those barriers, I feel like we're going to rapidly learn more while we create more jobs, and we're just, you know, pouring into the economy as opposed to pillaging the earth and creating a less clean environment for especially poor people. But when we think about like the global impact of this, like especially if America was like willing to just say, we don't care about, you know, protecting oil companies anymore. Like, we don't care about making non-renewable energy our main thing. We're going to destigmatize. We're going to stop pretending like this is a potentially harmful idea to embrace.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what, you know, I think everybody, you know, who's a little progressive minded is hoping that we're reaching a point right now where there needs to be some, you know, cosmic shift in the way that people are thinking about everything and the way that, you know, human beings are placed in the earth and what that all means. And yeah, I mean, hopefully right now, you know, enough people are starting to realize, okay, you know, things have to change. The fossil fuel industry needs to change. Pharmaceutical industry needs to change. You know, there's just so many things. And, you know, the cannabis plant is a huge part of that, because I think it helps, without getting too new agey here, it's a collective spiritual evolution for people to start realizing, okay, you know, we have to start thinking about things differently. We have to start thinking about fossil fuel industry differently. We have to start thinking about sustainable products differently. We have to stop thinking about, you know, the way we use plastic, which is just becoming catastrophic for the entire planet. And so many of these products right now, you know, these single-use plastic items can be made from hemp. And all of the hemp that's being grown right now, you know, even after all of the, you know, beneficial medicinal properties can be extracted from the CBD and everything, there's still going to be millions and millions and millions of pounds of what they call biomass left over, which is, we don't know what's going to happen yet, but they're not going to throw this stuff in the garbage. And, you know, these are, you know, plants that even after they've been processed, the fiber that's left over, you can make things that can essentially replace plastic. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed, and I'm trying to be hopeful that, you know, people get their act together quicker than later, you know, because we're running out of time.
Totally.
Man, you got a lot of knowledge, brother. I'm glad to have you. My man Dave Pelicani, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back in a minute. Coffee and powered by Acme Radio Live.
This is Nate. You're listening to the Coffee and Podcast powered by Acme Radio Live.
Hey y'all, Eric Dahl here, host of Acme Radio Gear Gap. Tune in Saturdays at 9 a.m. and a replay Monday at 9 a.m. to hear feature in-depth interviews and amazing musicians discussing their favorite music gear they use in the studio and on the road. Get the inside direct track to your favorite artist as we discuss the most popular songs, albums, tours, and books. Acme Radio Gear Gap is produced weekly at Acme Feed and Seed in the heart of Music City, Nashville, Tennessee, and proudly supported by IK Multimedia. Listen to Acme Radio Gear Gap live every Saturday at 9 a.m. with a replay Monday at 9 a.m. and on demand at acmeradiolive.com.
Sometimes you've had a rough week. Start your weekend off early every Thursday with drink specials provided by Acme Radio Live. Join us every Thursday from 4 to 7 on the second floor of Acme Feed and Seed for the Acme Radio Live Happy Hour. Acme Radio Live DJs will be setting the mood with some vibey tunes while you enjoy a $7 domestic beer and a shot. All you have to do is subscribe to our YouTube channel. By subscribing to the Acme Radio Live YouTube channel, you have incredible content at your fingertips and a beer and a shot in your belly.
Yay, beer!
So subscribe today and join us every Thursday from 4 to 7 on Acme's second floor for a much-needed happy hour.
Sex in the Music City, powered by Acme Radio Live, is a no-holds-barred talk show hosted by me, Amy Mariello. The talk is explicit, uncensored, and sometimes R-rated, but it is always real. Real women, real stories, real sex. And it's not just sex. It's sex and the Music City, and that means me and my girls, Britt and Bev, will be diving deep into what dating, hooking up, loving, or whatever you call it is like in Nashville. We'll talk the hottest spots, take you inside the minds of strippers, swingers, the singles who make up Music City. Sex in the Music City is hosted at our favorite hotspot, Acme Feed and Seed, in the heart of downtown Nashville. The show airs every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Central, and stream and download Sex in the Music City on all the podcast platforms. And while you're at it, give us a rating. 5 stars, baby. Follow us at sexinthemusiccity.com. Instagram is @sexinthemusiccity, and our YouTube, SATMC Nashville. For more information, visit us at sexinthemusiccity.com.
Join Sanctuary for Yoga and Acme Feed and Seed for another summer of our Rooftop Yoga Buzz series. Experienced, casual, and newbie yogis are all invited to enjoy a one-hour practice on Acme's sunny rooftop every first and third Saturday of the month at 10 a.m. After class, hang out on the rooftop to enjoy drink specials on the Devil's Backbone Hibiscus Lemonade to enhance your post-yoga glow, or head down to Acme's first floor and enjoy brunch. This is a bring-your-own-mat event. For more information, head to acmefeedandseed.com.
Coffee and Podcast, welcome back. Powered by Acme Radio Live. My name is Q. Got my homie Jimmy. Got my brother Nate.
Yo.
Got my homie Dave in the building talking about Nashville hemp. Right. And I feel like we're a bunch of stoners in the room because we kind of forgot that we're a coffee podcast and forgot what the original topic was, which I wanted to see because I've been approached by a couple of people who are in the CBD business about doing like coffee infusions and all this kind of stuff. And I've been hesitant because I was uneducated on the CBD side. And
yeah, I actually had a huge question about that because I just kind of learned about CBD 2 years ago, probably. So this whole industry is new to me, but coffee is not. And I saw it hit the coffee industry by like storm last year. It was in everything. It kind of reminded me of like, I don't know, 2010, 2011, when they decided bacon was going to be in everything. They did like bacon lollipops, bacon coffee, bacon like everywhere. And that is how CBD looked to me last year. CBD lattes, they were like hitting coffee shops. And as soon as it hit that, like both of those separate, I'm so into. Like I love CBD. I see its uses. I love using it. Coffee, obviously, I'm here. But the mixture of the two, I was like, wait, this doesn't make sense. It's like the Four Loko of the morning, trademark. It was like an upper and a downer. I'm curious what you think those two things, like how they can be used together or if they should be, or is it just a way to get CBD in front of people to destigmatize it a little bit, and will it kind of work itself out into the right areas?
I think two points, and not to go too far out with this, but yes, you know, having the exposure for CBD is definitely, it was a good thing for the collective psyche of, you know, just people in general to realize, okay, you know, this takes the stigma away from it. And yes, I mean, now CBD is everywhere. I mean, they sell it every place you can possibly imagine. And because it's so conducive to being mixed, or, you know, since it can be put into so many different things, just to give you an example to bring it back to the coffee, like there are a lot of people who are baking with CBD. And, you know, when we opened up, there were two different coffee companies that were making CBD-infused coffee. And I thought, okay, you know, we're trying to just carry, you know, is the most diverse assortment of, you know, hemp and CBD products. I mean, you know, we don't just sell CBD there. I mean, we have candles and cosmetics and books and clothes and everything you can think about over there at Nashville Hemp, made of, you know, or derived from the hemp plant. So it seemed natural that there was going to be, you know, okay, you know, coffee with CBD. What's this, you know, why not, you know? So we bought a bunch of coffee beans that were already infused with CBD. And I didn't know how it was going to sell. I didn't know what people were going to think about it. So we started brewing, you know, a little bit in the store just to have out for customers to have at no cost or anything, just to try it out. And it seemed like what a lot of people were thinking was, you know, it kind of, you know, CBD has become, you know, a daily part of so many people's routine these days, in the same way that for so many people, coffee is just, you know, a ritual for them, where, you know, there's so many people who can't even think of the idea of getting up in the morning and starting their day without a cup of coffee. So CBD is becoming kind of the same thing for a lot of people, where they're just using it as their base level, you know, thing to get them feeling normal, if that makes any sense.
Right.
And obviously, you know, I guess if you can combine the two together, where you're getting their a little bit of their CBD and their a little bit of their caffeine at the same time, you know, I get it's not for everybody. And, you know, I personally am not a huge CBD coffee drinker myself, but I get it. You know, I get why people would want to be able to combine the two things. I mean, a lot of people don't mind the flavor. And some people actually enjoy that little bit of, you know, that little planty, hempy flavor.
I feel like it'll be like coffee and tea at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely has an earthy, organic taste to it. If I'm drinking coffee, I just generally want good coffee, and I wouldn't want anything to, you know, interfere with the taste of it. And by the way, you know, this coffee that you poured me is fantastic.
Appreciate
by the way,
that.
Just give you a little shout out there on the coffee. It's really good coffee. So I don't know. I would necessarily want to add any, you know, hemp-er's flavor to this coffee.
Right.
But
I can see it from the efficiency standpoint. Like, the person who wants to put CBD in their coffee is probably also listening to this podcast while brushing their teeth in the shower or something like that. It's just like those people are just cutting corners all day long. We don't see you, but we hear you.
Yeah.
So like an efficiency standpoint, I can get that. But
thanks for shedding some light on that. That was something that I wasn't sure how I felt about the constant use of it everywhere. Or the here's what's normally a $5 beverage, but now it has CBD in it, so now it's $11.
Yeah,
like that kind of stuff I'll admit was annoying to me, despite my interest, curiosity, and enjoyment in this area. But I also understand,
and I totally understand that too. As a coffee connoisseur, of course, you know, it's something that I could see as being sacred, and you just want to leave
it
alone.
Because at the end of the
coffee,
at the end of the day, I'm a fucking snob when it comes to coffee. So yeah. But at the same time, I understand we're fighting a war for people's attention. So if you have to put it out there and it has to be so familiar to people before they'll embrace that, I have all the respect and understanding in the world for that, and I am for it.
Well, yeah, like with anything, you know, like we were saying before, you know, you can go buy a cup of coffee over at the gas station, but it's not going to be the same thing as, you know, going over to 8th and Roast and being able to, you know, be around people who are knowledgeable about, you know, what it is they're selling. I mean, these are, at the end of the day, consumable things, you know, so anytime I'm putting something into my body, I want to try to be a little selective about what it is. You guys obviously are carrying, you know, super high quality, you know, coffee beans, creating great roasts over there. You know, and CBD is similar in the same way that, yeah, you can go buy your CBD at a gas station, but it's not going to be the same experience as coming into a place that's, you know, specializes in hemp and CBD products, where, you know, you can talk to somebody and really learn about where it's coming from, what it's all about, what it does, how it works. And I'm sure, you know, when you have people coming into 8th and Roast who are curious, wow, you know, is this coffee from Kenya or Guatemala or wherever it is, you know, there's always a story behind it. And, you know, it enhances, you know, for me at least, you know, anything I'm ingesting, I like to know where it comes from, what it's about. You know, obviously you guys are super knowledgeable on, you know, the coffee side of things. So, you know, there's definitely some parallels there.
What do you think the future of the business is going to be in Nashville for you personally? If you had, I mean, obviously, I know what you would like to happen, but
yeah, I mean, it's hard to say right now. The industry's so saturated where they're just selling CBD literally everywhere. I mean, you guys, I'm sure, can drive down Charlotte Pike. We're not far from each other on the same road, and it seems like every fifth or sixth store's got a sign outside that says CBD sold here, and you know, places that really have nothing to do with the CBD industry. So it's hard to say where it's all going to go right now. I mean, I like to see, you know, the fact that the exposure as kind of normalized it, so people don't get so up in arms about it. Like when we were first opening up Nashville Hemp and we put the sign up before the store was even open, somebody came by and said they were going to throw a brick through the window because they didn't want to see any weed stores opening up in Nashville.
You keep that devil's lettuce off of here.
Yeah. But, you know, it's like, imagine if the same thing, you know, it happened with coffee, if some kind of crazy prohibition movement came in where people were up in arms about caffeine use, you know what I mean? You can't think about it right now because it's just so normalized in everyday society that people don't think twice about coffee.
Bootlegging coffee.
Yeah, exactly.
The coffee gangsters.
But, you know, and that's ultimately where the future of hemp product needs to be, is people don't think about it any differently than the way they would think about caffeine.
Awesome, man. And where can we find your store? What's the address again?
We're over at 5916 Charlotte Pike, pretty close to White Bridge Road, and we're open all the time, 10 to 7 every day. Fridays and Saturdays we still open till 8, and Sundays we're there from 12 to 4. But
and do you have an Instagram account?
Yeah, we got Instagram and Facebook pages and all that stuff. You can just, you know, search Nashville Hemp and you'll find us. We're there.
Awesome, man.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me. It's been great talking to you guys.
Super dope. Dave Pelicane from Nashville Hemp. This has been awesome. So we might have to do a partnership, man, and figure out a nice little blend if you want to talk about that at some point.
I'll for sure bring you guys some stuff by. I know that there's some opposition coming, but, and I get that. But if you know, at the very least, let me drop something off for you guys. You can check it out and, you know, see what you think.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed it. Coffee and Podcast. My name is Q, Jimmy Nate, powered by Acme Radio Live. Have a good one.
To us, coffee isn't just a beverage. It's a community. It's an accumulation of the global network of fair trade farmers to the independently owned coffee shops working together to bring the freshest coffee to their local neighborhoods. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jimmy. And we're roasters and baristas of one of Nashville's finest coffee shops, 8th and Roast. On Coffee and the Podcast, we'll dive deep into coffee trends, the craft culture of brewing, and answer all your questions about how these coffee communities impact your daily lives.
So tune in to listen live every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. via acmeradiolive.com. The show is also available on all podcast platforms.